Chapter 16. A Calculated Betrayal. Battle continued in Tressolian A4's cavern farms for the remainder of the day. Call went where he was needed, using his arts to mend the fallen, until fate found him within one of the giant agri-fields. Lines of blue-green foliage marched away to vanishing point under yellow lumens suspended from cold, weeping rock. Long troughs of hydroponic liquid fed bare roots. He supposed it must normally be a quiet place. No more. Half the cavern was ablaze. The troughs had been broken somewhere down the line, and a lake of thin yellow water had filled the perfectly flat space. Missile fire and the roar of bolters boomed, amplified by the stone. Agri-machines, oblivious to the chaos, raced towards the damaged troughs to repair, only to be shot down. Between the rows of food plants, Thalaxi marched, their lines staggered to increase the spread of their gunfire. Energy weapons made musical sounds with their discharge. Legionary weapons fired back, smashing the cyborgs from their feet. Undaunted, the survivors pressed on. The traitors had set up a wide front in the field. Rather than destroying the crops and moving on, they seemed to be attempting to take the facility. That made them vulnerable. Call's own fear had diminished now. Taking a life had made him careless of his own, and he walked in a half-crouch behind a Thalax trooper, using its heavily armoured war body to shield his far more delicate own. The rapid, doomy rattle of a heavy bolter sounded not far ahead. Speeding shells scythed down the plants. Call ducked behind the Thalax, but it shook and stopped suddenly. Biosuspension fluids gushed from holes in its front, and fire licked from around its joints. Enraged by the death of the machine, Call leaned out around its corpse and snapped off a shot from his Volkite. Dark armoured shapes were advancing through the smoke, weapons thumping. The Thalax took another hit. Call took a breath and leaned out again, yelling in exultation as he punched one of the armoured giants from its feet with a precise shot through the helmet. But they were not firing back. It had become silent. Dangerously silent. He looked to the side. The Thalax had frozen. Red lumens blinked on the back of the casings of them all. Suddenly, they put up their weapons and went into a stance of attention before shutting down. All the Mechanicum troops were inactive. Tech thralls froze, Skitari spasmed as they fought with orders imposed from outside. Only the adepts and others with independent will remained active, and they looked about in bewilderment. Those that continued to fight were shot down. Weapons clacked onto the floor as the rest took stock of their situation and surrendered. Call reached into his augmetic, scanning the command frequencies. An all-band message swamped the infosphere, disabling the cyborgs and urging the rest to submit.
Surrender, surrender, surrender,
the order went, transmitted with the correct codes.
Aspertia, Call whispered.
The lumens went out. Energy lighting flicked on, flooding the agri-cavern hall with bloody red light. Call glanced upwards. From the row next to his, a bolt gun was pressed against his head. Somehow, the legionary had reached his side without Call noticing.
"Yield or die," said the legionary.
Call went to his knees and held up his hands.
"Yield."
His gun was taken. Call expected death, but the legionary ordered him to stand.
"You're coming with us," he said.
Call was delivered, along with dozens of other adepts of the Tressolian Tagmata, to the Heptalagon's Scepter Station. Legionaries had seized control of the capital and guarded every intersection. Blood smears on the walls indicated recent executions. His escort of Night Lords marched him past all this too fast for him to get more than a glimpse of ongoing atrocities. The priests were kept under guard in an antechamber of central command, and taken one by one within. They all came out again, but some were taken away with grim looks on the human portions of their faces. The rest were herded to the far side of the room. Speech was forbidden. The Heptalagon's infosphere was shut down. After a wait of an hour, it was Call's turn. A legionary grabbed him without warning and shoved him through the double doors. The lights were off. The command chairs were empty and their systems powered down. The shutters were open and the planet shine of Etrian flooded the space. The legionary departed, leaving Call in the dark with Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma.
"You have betrayed the Imperium," said Call when they were alone.
"It is a calculated betrayal," she replied. "Do you think I wanted to do it? I had no choice."
"But we were winning," he said, taking an angry step forwards.
"We would have lost. I can show you the calculations if you like. The War Master would have diverted more resources to this system until it was overwhelmed, and we would all have died. Is that what you want, Call? To die?"
Call remained defiantly silent. Aspertia clattered forwards.
"The creed of our people is the preservation of the past. The past's knowledge means nothing if it cannot be conveyed into the future."
She ran her hands over the canisters attached to her front.
"For that reason, I carry these. You know what they are?"
She challenged him. The nature of the canisters was supposed to be secret, but it was widely rumoured throughout the system what they were.
"Clones," he said. "I have heard they are clones of yourself, kept in embryonic state."
She snickered.
"Yes, yes. The Whispermongers have that right. What else have you heard about my little babies?"
She swayed from side to side. The canisters clicked together.
"That they are your bid for immortality?"
She rounded on him, her manner fierce.
"Wrong, wrong, wrong," she said.
Her words were overlaid by angry blurts of audible data cant.
"The preservation of my life is nothing."
She retreated a little from Call.
"But my part in the great work is irreplaceable. Within these canisters are no homunculi, but gene-perfect replicas of my brain. The rest is vestigial, irrelevant. Why should I wish to replicate what I have already discarded?"
She wrapped a metal claw against her elongated skull.
"But the brain, that is the seat of the intellect. The clonelings are fed constantly with an update feed from my main cortex. The preservation of all I have learned is their purpose. Should I die, they will be force-matured and implanted into a new body. For 300 years, Call, I have fought as a dominer of the Tagmata. I have served in 7 different exploratory fleets of the Great Crusade. I have been to the edge of the galaxy and back. During my travels, I have faced 14 hostile Xenos species, 103 divergent human civilizations. I have waged war alongside 9 legions and seen the belligerent arts of the machine god tested in every imaginable war zone. The wealth of combat data I possess in this one mind would fill a library of paper books."
She looked down at him.
"Now why would I let that all go to waste?"
"You betray the Emperor to save your knowledge," said Call.
"You still think I'd do it to save my life?" she scoffed. "I live and die at the will of the machine god. Knowledge is all. To permit any of it to be lost is a great sin."
"The Emperor..."
"The Emperor? Horus?" she said. "Who are they, these Terran upstarts? It does not matter who sits upon the throne. What matters is what resides in the tabernacles of Mars. What matters is what is here, preserved in my minds and my memories."
She caressed her silver cheek with a mechadendrite, a curiously sensuous gesture.
"Kelbor Hal may be right. We may have a more glorious future at the War Master's side. He may be wrong. He is definitely one or the other. He cannot be both. But so long as the knowledge is saved, what does it matter? I might live or I might die. Life is a binary state. It is or it is not. The state of being is unstable and liable to collapse at any time into death, which is eternal."
"We all die," agreed Call.
He glanced at the canisters swinging from her chest.
We do, she said. Only knowledge persists. All that matters is that while I live, so does my knowledge, so that it might be added to the sum total of all things known. It is in service to the machine god that I go to bend my knee at Horus's throne. If the Emperor himself came here, I would do the same to him. The question is, what about you? I kept you alive because I see potential in you. Will you follow me, whoever I pledge my service to? Or will you protest your loyalty and die? I can use you, Call, but that does not mean I will not end you if I must.
A triple pincered claw sprang open. A plasma torch flame burst from its center. It dipped towards Call's face.
It would be a shame to lose that mind of yours, said Aspertia. If I must kill you, I will probably keep it.
I serve the machine god, said Call.
He mastered his anger and spoke as levelly as he could.
I serve the machine god.
Excellent, she said.
The torch went out. The claw snapped closed around it.
Then I will keep you alive for a little while longer. Now join the others. Power is a show, and we have a performance to give.
The door hissed upwards. Call left as quickly as was seemly. As he joined the ranks of Aspertia's acolytes waiting in the antechamber outside, he wondered if the others had suffered the same interrogation. Which of them had thrown themselves on her mercy, and which needed to be convinced? His mind went back to his unfinished work in his chamber. If he could complete it, he could be free again. Slowly, a plan began to form in Belisarius Call's mind.